今日要检查表演，要从头忙发射的，一个追啊，一个追啊，把后他的石头木看。今日要检查表演，要从头忙发射的。Eka Trena Kata Trena Bhagavadishvatomukham
Jnana Yajna
By
cultivation of knowledge
Cha
also
Api
certainly
Anye
others
Yajantaha
Sacrificing
Imam,
me,
upasate,
worship,
ekatrena,
in oneness,
kutaktrena,
in duality,
bahuta,
in diversity,
vishvata,
mukham,
and in the universal form.
Others, who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge, worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many, and in the universal form. Purport. This verse is the summary of the previous verses. The Lord tells Arjuna that those who are purely in Krishna consciousness and do not know anything other than Krishna are called Mahatma. Yet there are other persons who are not exactly in the position of Mahatma, but who worship Krishna also in different ways. Some of them have already been described as the distressed, the financially destitute, the inquisitive, and those who are engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. But there are others who are still lower, and these are divided into three. One, he who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. Two, he who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that. And three, he who accepts the universal form, the Vishwarupa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest, those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monists, are most predominant. Such people think themselves to be the Supreme Lord, and in this mentality, they worship themselves. This is also a type of God worship, where they can understand that they are not the material body, but are actually spiritual soul. At least, such a sense is prominent. Generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. The second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. And the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord.
Om Mokyan Tirinam Tasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Hena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manopisam Sthapitam Vena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamaityam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Tathapata Samanam Shri Guru Vaishnavanshka Shri Rupam Sadhu Jatam Sahaganagaranatam Vitam Sam Sumitam Sadvaitam Sadhu Dutam Vrishana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Agana-vadita Sri Vishakhandhita He Krishna Parana Sinto Nina Bhanto Jagat Prate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Tata Kanta Namolangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhan Suske Devi Manamami Puri Priye Vancha Ko Prudhyascha Prabhasindho Kraya Vacha Matidana Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namavana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasani Guru Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the previous verses, the Lord has said,
for broadcasting.
Yeah, as long as we minimize. I'll get too fascinated. The Mahatmas are those who take shelter of Krishna and his internal energy and engage wholeheartedly in his service. Satam Kirti Yanto Mam, Tantas Chai, Tukam Kutam, Namas Yantas Kumam Kya, Nityuka Vipassana. They're always engaged in Krishna Kirtan, glorifying the Lord and engaging in his devotional service. That's the background of this verse. These are the previous statements of the Lord in the previous verses. Now he says there are some other people. First he's mentioned the Mahatmas, and now he says that there are some others. So either it can be taken that they're not Mahatmas, or they're not Mahatmas of the same level. They're others. How are they engaged? Jnana yagin and chapyanye yajanto mamupasana. They're also worshipping me, mamupasana. They're also engaged in serving me. They're also engaged in sacrifice for me. By the method of knowledge, cultivating knowledge, in other words, the Gyanis, he probably usually says mental speculators. Those who are following a speculative process to understand this dream. The Prophet explains these people in three categories. Ekatvain, the lowest, are those who think themselves one with the Supreme Lord. This is also a transcendental process. It's often called the Ahamgrahopasana process, worshipping oneself as the Supreme. Because I'm Brahmasana, I'm spirit, I'm not this body. In bewildered illusion, I'm thinking this, that I'm this body. But the Shastra says, oh, you're not this body, you're Brahma. What is Brahma? Brahma means that you're absolute. Brahma can even mean the greatest. So, I'm not this body, I am Brahma. Maybe those who are not happy sitting and having to be stuck in a lecture might want to find places especially meant for play. Or maybe they could make it. Let's see how we do it. Otherwise, as a kid, I hated to be stuck in lectures. So I have full sympathy for the people who are impatient with it. So, I'm Brahmasmi, I'm one with God, or there's no difference between myself and God in terms of the substance of which we're constituted. God is eternal, I'm also eternal. God is full of knowledge, I'm full of knowledge. God is blissful, I'm blissful. But there's really no difference between myself and God. So then one can say, well, I'm not. And that's also true in a qualitative sense, that I have the same qualities of God. Just like a little particle of sunshine can say, I'm also the sun. And be perfectly right. We have no quarrel with a little sun ray that says, I'm also the sun, I'm also the sun. That's fine, because you're also hot, you're also bright, you're inseparable from the sun. But still, you're not the whole deal. It's not that all the light of the universe is coming from you. You're just one little ray. But the sun is quantitatively huge, and you're quantitatively minute, small. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his philosophy as simultaneous oneness and difference. The living being is one with God in quality and different in extent and quantity. So that's a perfect understanding. But these apocryphal people, they only see one side, or they really focus on this one side, that they're called Kaivalyapadins. Those who follow absolute oneness, just pure oneness, nothing but oneness. And they don't catch the difference. So then they meditate by worshiping themselves, by meditating on themselves. Well, that's a start, because they're recognizing I'm Brahma, and so they're engaged in the worship of Brahma. That's better than the materialists who are engaged in the worship of material things and material values and material relationships and material everything else. They're engaged in the worship of spirit. They're just naive or confused or hazy. They're hazy about what spirit is. They don't understand that while they're one with the Supreme, they're also different. But they're making progress because they're, all right, they're worshiping themselves. They're indirectly worshiping Krishna. Krishna says, Mami Mamsa Vibhavoga, Vibhavoga Sanat. All these eternal living beings are little parts of me, conscience, little portions. So if we're worshiping the portion of Krishna, we're also worshiping Krishna. So in that sense, it's good. The only thing that's not so good is that they mistaken the part for the whole, or they haven't recognized that there's a difference between the part and the whole. All they've seen is oneness. So they're the apocryphal people.
Worshipping themselves. Then the next,
those who see all the different forms as forms of God, the various demigods. Brahma is also God, Shiva is also God, Vishnu is also God, Durga is also God, Ganesh is also God, Surya is also God, Bahu-Ishwara-Vadis, they're called Bahu-Ishwara-Vadis, those who except that they're all God. There's no difference. Why are you making any distinction between this one, that one? Wherever you go, it's just your own choice. Someone likes Shiva, someone likes Vishnu, someone prefers Durga, but it really doesn't matter because it's all the same. And whoever you approach, all roads lead to Rome, and whichever path you take, you get to the same destination. All rivers lead to the sea, and so on. They also have a partial understanding, because, all right, these, Krishna says, I'm the origin of all these devas. And the devas are also Krishna's representatives. So anyone who's worshipping the devas is indirectly worshipping Krishna. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say, My dear Arjuna, those who are worshipping other gods, Anya Devata, those who are devotees, sincere devotees, who are serving other devatas, Shraddha, with great faith. Someone says, well, it doesn't really matter who you worship as long as you're worshiping with sincere faith, if you believe it is right for you. So Krishna says, those who are worshiping other devatas with sincere faith, Shraddha, take me on in. Actually, they're worshiping me. They are worshiping. You're just in the deep world, but they're doing it the wrong way. They're doing it the wrong way. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't subscribe to this idea that any deity you worship is all the same. There's a right way to do it, there's a wrong way to do it. And Krishna says, if you're worshiping any deity, even sincerely faithful, then a deep world. It's the wrong way to do it. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example that when we meet the spiritual master, the custom is that we touch his lotus feet. We show respect to the spiritual master, we touch his feet. So then someone says, well, there's really no difference between the feet of the spiritual master and the head of the spiritual master. So when I meet him, I'll touch him on the head. That's called avidhipurva. It's not the way to do it. So, yes, to worship the devatas is to worship Krishna. It is a means of worshiping the Supreme Lord, but it's avidhipurva. It's the wrong way to do it. Avidhi means against the rules, illegal. It's something like when you're bribing a minister, you are giving money to the government. But it's the wrong way to do it. It's illegal. So those who are, you don't want to say better to the demigods, but those who are worshiping them sincerely, they're also worshiping God. That's all right. But because they're not worshiping the original supreme personality of Godhead, because they're worshiping one of his lesser representatives, Krishna says, they're not doing it. So it's appreciated. At least they're acknowledging a higher authority. That's good. Rather than the guys who go around and say, there's no God, there's no nothing, sacrifices, higher, whatever, there ain't no higher, whatever, it's all down here. They can't see anything beyond that. No, these people, they recognize that there's higher power, a higher authority, higher means. So they've chosen Anishtha Devata, or preferred deity, they're worshipping that. So So Krishna says, all right, we're also worshiping. But not the best way. So they're counted here among the unknown, the other people who are also engaged, but not as the highest class of Mahatmas, who are simply glorifying Krishna. And Vishnu. The third class are those who are worshipping the universal form.
Or Srila Prabhupada nicely expresses it,
they're worshipping the universe.
And this is really quite succinct. Those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe, they consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that.
So this is really quite to the point in many ways. There are those who quite formally adopt the idea that the earth is divine, that they have a Gaia hypothesis, that the earth is like a deity, and you should worship the earth. Very explicit about it. And then we have those who are not quite so explicit, but who are giving all their energy to the universe or the earth. The scientists who are simply, for them, the goal is to appreciate, understand the universe. There's nothing higher for them than the wonders of the universe. The idea that there's somebody behind the wonders of the universe is out of the question. But the universe itself is so wonderful. Nature in her wisdom. Nature is intelligent. Self-intelligent. The universe in its wisdom. DNA in its wisdom. Your nature is full of wisdom. And so they're in awe of nature. No awe for God, but awe for nature. They see something wonderful in nature and just fills them with admiration and appreciation and veneration and awe. But the universe would be so great. So they're also engaged in that way. They're sacrificing also. They stay up late at night, they study, they do research, they aim, they try to, in one way or another way, express their deep, abiding appreciation and interest in the universe. Or we get poets who, in not in a scientific way, but in a literary way, appreciate the divinity of the universe, the wonders of nature. They write about it, and they think about it, and they wax poetic about it. So for them, the universe is wonderful. The things in the universe as a whole is just so wonderful. But they don't really go beyond. But the universe is. Or, at the present moment, there's this enormous interest in ecology. So many high school kids, you know, what do you want to do when you graduate? I'm not being an economist. It's something like going to divinity school used to be in previous centuries. Now you don't go to divinity school, you become an economist. And it's a very high thing to be concerned about the environment. Nothing is more important than the environment. When the Iraqis invaded Kuwait, that was just a political misfortune. But when they set fire to the oil wells and there were oil spills in the Gulf, that was an ecological disaster. It was unpardonable. They had offended the environment. Nobody, you know, you can be, doesn't matter how impious you are, that's hip. It's not hip to be anti-intellectual, anti-ecological. and there are billboards telling you how concerned British Petroleum is about the environment, how concerned this paper company or that chemical company is about the environment, because nothing is more sacred than the environment. So there's this, and there's some justifiability. The environment is very important. The environment, the totality of the creation in which we live, it matters. And there's something sacred about it. You can say that God's presence is, in fact, there throughout the creation. So, in that sense, the universe or the world is also God. Divinity is present everywhere. So, those who are devoting themselves as they do to the environment, to saving the environment, preserving the environment, protecting the environment, honoring the environment, raising awareness about the environment, campaigning for the environment, going to jail for the environment. They are, in one sense, serving humanity, serving God. But indirectly. Because the Ahangrahapasana person was worshiping himself as God, realizing that, well, I'm spirit, God is spirit. These people don't get to that level. They're on the level of matter. The environment is matter. So matter is also identical with God, because matter is one of God's energies. And the energy and the energetic are ultimately one. Shakti, Shakti, Mati, or Vedi. Oh, in that sense, they're worshiping God, but again, because the material energy is one with God, and at the same time, different from God. God goes beyond. As Mr. Picasso goes beyond a Picasso, a painting by Picasso, but Krishna goes beyond his creation. And at the same time, as Picasso is present in his art, Krishna is present in his art, because his art is a lot better than Picasso. Picasso's art has no fragrance, apart from whatever other beauties you might make of Picasso or anybody else who had Krishna beats them all out. Krishna creates Picassos and Dalis and Degas and the painter, not just the paintings. He creates all of these people. So who's a better artist? So these people are all indirectly worshiping Krishna, all engaged in the service of Krishna. But the Mahatmas mentioned in the previous verses are directly engaged in the service of Krishna. Satyatam Kirtiyam Paramam. They're always talking about Krishna, they're always chanting about Krishna, they're always engaged in thinking about Krishna, and they're always engaged in the service of Krishna. So, Krishna will repeatedly in the Bhagavad Gita recommend this direct service to him as the best engagement for the being. The Sugrulava Mahatmas, the rarest Mahatmas of those engaged in the service of Krishna. And what's your question?
This Ahangrahapasana is different than Mayavadi, correct?
The Ahangrahapasana is different from the Mayavadi, not really.
Not really.
The Ahangrahapasana probably mentions, but generally the person is doing that category. Generally, the impersonalist worship is being born in this way. So, I'm worshiping myself as God. That is my God idea. When I'm God, you're God, we're all God, we just have to realize that we're God, we just have to honor God within ourselves, and so on. The God that I am. But this is fascinating.
He does, he defends the Amgraha Upasana a little bit in the sixth canto.
Yeah. My God has something going for it. At least they recognize that matter is not it. That I'm not this body, that life is not meant for sense gratification. That one has to aspire for realization of oneself, realization of God. So they're up there. But they make a fatal error. They're engaged in pursuit of the Supreme. But then they identify themselves with the Supreme. So it may not be fatal. They may get over it if they come in touch with a pure devotee. Then they can get past that. But it's a serious obstacle to putting up to their problems.
I'm noticing how much the Srimad Bhagavatam, how much Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the universal form. Dozens of times when devotees offer prayers, they start enumerating all the different parts of the universal form. So why in the Paramahamsa Samhita is there so much time devoted to universal form?
Why in the Srimad Bhagavatam is there so much attention to the universal form? So that we can understand Krishna. Krishna says, Abhijanati ma bhuta manashantara. The fools think that I'm an ordinary human being. The Sukadeva Goswami is going to describe the most exalted pastimes of Krishna. And he wants to make sure that those who hear him have a proper understanding of who it is that we're talking about. And Krishna's not just a charming young boy or a charming lover or whatever it is that people may think, comparing themselves to him. He wants us to understand that all the universes proceed from this person. And in his partial expansion, his Mahavishnu, he's the source of all the universes that are coming from his pores like bubbles. That the universal form, which is such an impressive thing, is only a portion, a portion, a portion.
Third one was this word pritak.
Pritak twaina.
Pritak twaina. Could you explain a little bit about this word pritak?
Pritak means different. And twa means the quality of. So it's differentness. The quality of being different. And twaina, so it's instrumental. I, differentness. They worship it. By this conception of differentness. There's ekatvena, pritaktvena. Oneness, and then difference, anubhava, so in this way. Yes?
A couple of questions. It says here at the bottom of the page, it's talking about these three categories. And it says that it means the lowest of those who worship themselves.
The lowest are those who worship themselves, yes.
The lowest of these three.
Yes.
So, what you're describing, it seems that maybe they're the most.
They can be taken, it's just your angle of vision. Prabhupada calls them less advanced, ahamgraha upasana, because they're stuck in that idea of thinking themselves supreme.
So yes, Prabhupada does say that. I said it the opposite way.
Yeah, so that's, it's not appreciated to think that you're God.
Plus, you seem to be saying that scientists are worshiping Krishna, they're worshiping the form of sense. And, of course, we always.
Scientists are also worshiping the universal form, yes. I'm just repeating for the microphone.
So, there, you can take it that, in general, the scientists are in this way of making.
They're making some sort of advancement on that account. It's not the only thing they're doing, They can make themselves, they can also earn themselves lots of demerits. They can write books like The God of Illusion and lose a lot of the ground books that they might have done otherwise. They can decry the personality of God. But otherwise, Prabhupada sometimes described them as tapasvis. They undergo severe austerity, first of all, 4 years of college and another 7 years of graduate school. That's a lot of tapasya. And then paying off their loans, that's more tapasya. And then, if they're serious researchers, then they're really, really spending all sorts of hours and hours and hours puzzling over problems in physics, equations, and how could this be consistent with this, and how do you want to make of the Copenhagen model of quantum physics, and so many different things. So they're really undergoing a lot of trouble. They're not out there just watching a Giants game or something. You know? They're undergoing sacrifice, attending conferences, and writing journal articles, and so on. And all for understanding the great secrets of nature. So they're devoted to nature. But too often they're really dull and prosaic. They don't understand nature, the artistic intelligence behind nature. They just have a mechanistic conception. It's like something like thinking your girlfriend is a robot. You know, I don't do so much because of the way that, you know, it's just, if you just think she's a machine, that's not very high on the scale of appreciation. The other girl said, you just love me for my body. No, I love you for who you really are. They misunderstand in any case. No, it's not your body, it's your mind. Okay. But if all we see is mechanics, that's a rather low form of appreciation. If you see a car, or you listen to a symphony, all you can appreciate is the mechanics. You know, what makes Beethoven great is not just his mechanics. There's feeling, there's inspiration there that goes beyond just how the notes go together. It's more than just an assortment of notes in a certain order and with certain intervals between them. There's feeling, there's inspiration. Great literature is not just how the plot's constructed or how the sentences are crafted. Again, there's deeper feeling, there's deeper awe, there's deeper inspiration there. If all you appreciate is the canon set of Shakespeare, then you're really missing a lot. It's good that you appreciate the canon of Shakespeare, he's marvelous, but what else is there? So scientists can get awfully dull and prosaic, where all they do is look at the mechanics of nature and say, isn't that great? Yeah, it is. Now, where did that come from? Sometimes your greatest scientists really do appreciate that there must be a higher intelligence, there must be God, this must be all this handiwork. But those are your highest scientists. And they'll go to the point, and they'll have that sense that the universe is so great, how great God must be. And your impious scientists, if the universe is so great, what need is there of God? The whole machinery can work by itself. Why does the car need a driver? Why does the computer need a programmer? It's so smart that it can do everything on its own. So that's the difference. The demonic will see everything as evidence that there's no God. And the godly will see everything in its relation to God. So, yes.
In this verse,
sorry, you really have to talk louder, I think, the air conditioner is competing with you.
So in this verse and in the previous verses, there is mention of the different grades of devotees.
Different grades of devotees, yes.
And in so doing, one gets the impression that there's only one school of thought in terms of, you know, how these devotees are, how Krishna describes these devotees.
How Krishna describes these devotees? One school of thought?
Meaning, what I wanted to say was, there's only one sampradaya or something of that sort.
Why do you get that impression? There's only one school of thought, one sampradaya.
I get that impression because there is no way in scripture mentioned that Krishna speaks that there will be four different sampradayas that are bona fide sampradayas. I don't think Krishna...
That does come up, that there are four different sampradayas. It's not mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, but it is mentioned in the Puranas. Yeah, we didn't make it up, it's there.
So anyway...
And then it's referenced in Sampradaya Kinaye Mantra Stenish Palahada. Unless we receive our mantra from the Sampradaya, it will be effective. And then right there it does mention that there are four Sampradayas.
Oh, look at that, all the time it's happens.
Yeah, they're right. Follow the
So, if I do come across a friend who is part of another sampradaya, he poses some challenging questions. He poses some challenging questions.
Yeah.
Most commonly, challenges, how is it start as the one who is spring water? So how should I try, but I don't.
Well, they're different. Okay, so we meet a person from another Vaishnava sampradaya.
Yes, from Sri sampradaya.
Sri Sampradaya, they say, well, how can you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
And their biggest premise is that Radharani is nowhere mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
That
Radharani is not mentioned in
the Bhagavatam. Well, first of all, let's get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first, then we'll come to Radharani second. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned, especially Sri Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis upon this verse. Krishna Varna Tusha Krishna Sangopan Vastra Parshana. Yadgaya Sankirtana Praya, he does the Easter names. When the Navi Yogendras were describing these different incarnations for the different yugas, so they described the Satya Yuga, Kreta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. When they come to Kali Yuga, this is their description. Krishna Varna. Krishna Varna means either that he's in the Krishna category. Varna means category or means color. And he has, but usually say category. Krishna Varna. He's in the Krishna just as we have different Shudra Varna, Dhamma Varna. So Varna. He's in the Krishna category. Or Varna can mean alphabets, syllables, you'd say. So Krishna Varna. He's always chanting these two syllables, Krishna. And he himself is in the Krishna category. But Tusha, by his complexion, he's not Krishna. He's not Krishna. Krishna means he's not Krishna because Krishna's black. Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is black. And Krishna literally is also black. So this incarnation, he's always chanting Krishna. And he's in the Krishna category, but by complexion, he's not Krishna. Now, what does it mean, not Krishna? That's also explained. That when Garga Muni, astrologer, was performing the birth ceremony of Krishna, reading his horoscope, so your child appears in different ages and different colors. He appears in rakta, red color, he appears in white color, he appears in black color, and he appears in yellow color. So, from the previous descriptions, it's already clear. White one is already gone. Red one is already gone. Black one is already gone. In the three previous ages, such a trait of Varna, these three colors are gone. Now what color is left? That's yellow. So this is Kirtana. Krishna Varna, Trisha Krishna. He's Gorsanga. As Krishna's Shamsanga, he's Gorsanga, Golden Color. And Sangopangastra Parshana. In previous ages, Krishna has his weapons. But in the Kali Yuga, his weapons are his associates. Advaita, Vedanta, Srivas Thakur. Sangha, Sangha Upanga, Parshana. This is a physical description. And then the mission of the avatar is also his job. What's he doing? He's spreading the Sankirtan yoga. This is also taken in Mahaprabhu. So they may say, not mentioned, but there's a mention in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Acharyas have also pointed out confidential portions of Mahabharata and other shastras where taken in the Mahaprabhu's avatar is alluded to the record. In Prahlad Maharaj's prayer also he says that you have come in Kali Yuga also, but in a hidden form. Therefore he's called Tri Yuga. He appears in three ages. Why? Because of the fourth age. He doesn't come as the personality of God. He comes as a devotee. So all of these arguments are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all this evidence. You can offer that to your friends in Sri Sampradaya. They probably won't accept it, but they'll at least have to acknowledge that you're not just speaking off the top of your head, that there's some shastra background to it. And some of them may appreciate it. I know actually so many members of Sri Sampradaya come to appreciate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Tirupati, the head priests of Balaji performed the installation for our Radha Krishna Shashati temple in Tirupati. And they appreciated it like anything. I was in Vrindavan, I had this very nice, in fact, you wrote an article for Bhakti Godhead. That you could find, if you look at a previous issue of Bhakti Godhead. There's one member of the Sri Sampradaya who I met in Vrindavan, a wonderful person, with such appreciation of how Srila Prabhupada spread the actual message of Sanatana Dharma all over the world. So, Yajnani Sankirtana Karma Jantihi Sumedhisa. Those who have the best intelligence in Kali Yuga will join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtana movement, whether they're from the Ramanuja Sampradaya or from Sri Sampradaya, or Vishnu Sampradaya, Nimbarka Sampradaya, Bhagavad Sampradaya. They'll recognize the Chaitanya of Mahaprabhu as the first Sankirtana and engage in the Sankirtana movement. Radharani is mentioned indirectly in Srimad Bhagavatam and directly in Mahaprabhu's Gurus. We didn't make them up either. We don't make things up in that way.
Rajan, the previous, 5,000 years ago, and the Maharaj.
5,000 years ago.
Okay. Talking about that, the Lord was present 5,000 years ago.
This amplification is a little distorted.
I'm just talking about.
I'm just talking about the 5,000 years ago.
Yes.
When the Lord was there, and Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vajabhumis, they were trying to worship Indradev. Hmm. And the Lord basically persuaded them to worship the world. So it looks like, you know, this knowledge of Musa Supreme was not really existing prior to 5,000 years ago.
Is that the same as well?
I mean, this knowledge of who is the supreme. I mean, even Nanda Maharaj is.
Oh, they were the last to know. The in Dwarka they knew Kunti Devi was praying to Dwarka, the Supreme Personality of God, and he was appearing as something. The Pandavas knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God, at least sometimes. The Rajvasis, they were absurd to think that Krishna could be God. It's out of the question. He's our son, he's our friend. That's all. If they're not going to buy it because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God itself, that's out of the question. Because their love is such that it exceeds those considerations. So Yogamaya has deliberately covered that. So that Yashoda, even when it's clear, Krishna will open his mouth and she'll see all the universes within his mouth. Well, you know, what do you conclude from that? She concludes, oh, you know. Stop this nonsense. Sometimes if Krishna does something exceptionally wonderful, then people in Vrindavan get excited and say, maybe he's one of the demigods. But Yogamaya hides from him, that is the personality of God, to enable these loving exchanges.
I drank to do it high.